Welcome to episode 3 of the Transforma tu Inglés Profesional podcast. I am your host, Daniel Smith. Today, I will be talking with Alistair, an amazing coach from my team, all about how the words advice, furniture, accommodation, and news are often used incorrectly, how the words sum and peace can help solve this problem, and why English teachers have a problem with question tags. This podcast is aimed at helping you push your business English communication skills to the next level so that you can grow professionally and achieve your international career goals. So, without further ado, let's get straight into it. Enjoy! Hi there, Alistair. Today we're going to be talking a little bit about common mistakes, and in particular, one of the issues that is something that should be highlighted to Spanish speakers when they're trying to speak English. And the issue is the whole idea of countable or uncountable, right? Mm-hmm. And most of the time, of course, when we think of that particular issue, we think of much and many. But today we're actually going to be talking about specific common mistakes that often actually originate from the L1, as in, so the first language, okay, which is obviously Spanish in this case, and often then taken across to English. So yes. let's have a think about that and think about which kind of mistakes we often hear from our clients.
Yeah, well, the problem is you've got some very common nouns people use all the time that in English, for some reason, are uncountable. I don't know why. And in Spanish, and I imagine many other languages, perhaps Latin-based languages, I can imagine French, Italian, Portuguese is probably the same, are countable. And it seems logical that they're countable. For example, furniture.
Yeah.
So I think to a Spanish speaker is like, of course you can count your furniture, no? They say muebles, no? Yeah. Tengo un mueble. I have a furniture. Or tengo dos muebles. I have two furnitures.
That's right.
So it seems logical that it's an object, a noun that you can count. But in English, you can't. This is right. The weird thing.
That's right. Absolutely. And so we often hear that furnitures, don't we?
Furnitures, yes.
Yeah.
Our furniture.
Our furniture, that's right. So it's kind of, but that sounds kind of really awful in English,
in
right?
English, it sounds very strange.
Sounds very strange, yeah. So, I mean, the basic way that we would actually say that correctly is that we would basically just say, I have a lot of furniture or some furniture.
Some right? furniture.
Yeah.
So it's typical with uncountable nouns. In English, you don't have to. You could just say the word furniture. I have furniture. But that sounds slightly strange as well.
It does.
I think.
Yeah.
So we tend to use the word some with uncountable nouns. And so I have some furniture.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, it's interesting, though, that we tend to think of these words in a different way. So to us as English native speakers, the concept of furniture is all the items of furniture you have, your chairs, tables, beds, etc.
Yeah.
Is furniture is all of them together as a concept, no? As a thing.
That's right. And we would, like, if we really wanted to separate them out, then probably we would use the word piece, right? A piece of furniture.
Yeah.
How many pieces of furniture do you have in that room?
I have a nice new piece of furniture I've just bought.
That's right.
So if you do want or need to count it, to make it countable, a very useful word, piece, that you can use with not every uncountable noun. There are some exceptions, like accommodation, another one that is a common word that in Spanish is alojamientos is countable, un alojamiento.
Right. Yeah.
And in English, accommodation, you can't say an accommodation or accommodations, but you can't say a piece of accommodation because obviously it doesn't make sense. Accommodation is a hotel, for example, a piece of a hotel. What's that?
Exactly.
Part of the building. So it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you would probably say what different types of accommodation are there in Madrid? Say, well, we have bed and breakfast, hotels, motels, apartments. So if you wanted to make it countable or to itemize it, you would say type. But with the other words like furniture, pieces, a very useful word.
Exactly, yes. And I mean, yeah, that is kind of like the outlier in this particular situation, right? You'd have to remember that specifically. What type of accommodation is available, for example?
Yeah, is available.
You know, especially if you were kind of asking, maybe if you were going to rent a house, or if you were going to move to a new city, and you were speaking with the person who is helping you to find that type of accommodation, you would say,
well, the tourist office, perhaps.
Yeah,
if you're a tourist.
Yeah. What type of accommodation is available? You know.
Yeah. Exactly.
So that there's kind of like key little words that sometimes can be so important in terms of making a sentence sound correct or not, right? And exactly. In that particular case, is just the difference between a piece or type. However, there are other key words that we're going to talk about where actually a piece of a particular thing is actually correct, and it's similar to furniture, right? And so one of those would be the very, very famous and very commonly used advice, right? So the whole idea of advice is a classic for us as sort of educators of English
teachers living in Spain.
Yeah, this is just
you
so
hear
common,
many
right?
times. No, an advice. I'll give you an advice.
That's right.
Or advices in plural.
Yes. Advices, yes.
And in English, you can't say that, so it's uncountable, which again seems strange probably from a Spanish speaker's point of view.
Mm.
So, well, obviously, when you say, I think in English, again, we think of it as a concept, a totality. So you'd say, when you give somebody advice, I'll give you some advice.
Yeah.
And then you say, I think you should do this, this, and this.
Mm.
But the fact that you say three pieces of advice, again, so you can use piece.
You can.
We don't really think of it like this, like, everything you say to that person, it could be one item or piece of advice or 10. Everything you say to them is advice.
That's right.
So we think of it as a conjunto, as they say in Spanish. No?
Yes, exactly. Exactly right. Yeah. And it's just so natural for Spanish speakers, right, to say advices. It's just very, very...
Or te doy un consejo, no? I'll give you an advice. But
an
you
advice,
say, I'll give you
yes.
some advice.
Yeah.
And sometimes we actually count it, but not the word. So you'd say, I'll give you some advice. Okay. One, do the number two, number three. You sometimes do actually itemize individually each piece of advice.
That's right.
But we don't
advices. No. So it's quite different in that way, right?
And the way we think of it is different.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that you just have to keep at the back of your mind and just kind of try to remember it as best you can. Yeah. The problem is that often it comes back just naturally. I don't know whether you found that with your clients. Is you kind of like you might remind them once or twice.
It just
comes. It's always that L1 that comes back. It's that structure that they have in their heads in terms of the Spanish construction of that phrase in particular. Yeah, so the key thing here to take away is the idea of some advice or a piece of advice or three pieces of advice if you want to, really.
Yeah, but we don't say that very often. It's
no,
true.
We don't.
You say, I'll give you some advice, and then you speak.
That's right.
And you tell them what you think they should do.
Yeah.
And whether that's two or three different things or one thing is irrelevant to us, really.
That's right.
Everything you say is advice.
Yes.
Think of it as separate.
Yes.
Things.
The only context in which I would maybe separate it out and say pieces of advice, let's say, is maybe when I'm reporting those pieces of advice to someone else. So like, for example, like somebody, you know, somebody who you've met, I don't know, a few years ago, who gave you some great advice, and you're trying to report that to somebody else. And then you might say, this director, he gave me three great pieces of advice.
Yeah, really useful pieces of advice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I hadn't thought about that. But yeah, I suppose when you're retelling a story, someone's has given you some good advice, you might say, yeah, somebody gave me a really great piece of advice when I was, I don't know, a student or starting my job or three really superb pieces of advice. And then you name each one.
Exactly.
So occasionally you do need to, itemize or individualize the
advice, especially,
and then you have to use the word piece.
Exactly. And I would say, and especially if you're kind of in sort of a presentation sort of situation, or, you know, trying to do some sort of storytelling where you're kind of trying to get these pieces of advice across to an audience, then maybe you would want to sort of itemize like that, because then people might remember it more clearly, right? Rather than just say some advice. But if you are giving the advice directly to someone, then you say, oh, I'll give you some advice. I think, you know, I can give you some advice about that, but then you wouldn't itemize it in that way when you're speaking.
It wouldn't be
to
necessary.
Them. Yeah. But it's certainly true. In a presentation,
in a conversational way,
yeah.
You just say, hey, I'll give you some advice. Why don't you do this and that?
Mm.
But if you're actually presenting, as you say, if you're giving a presentation to an audience with a flip chart, where you're actually, okay, three important pieces of advice about, I don't know, whatever the subject is. And then you might write them 1, 2, 3.
That's right.
Because they need to remember them as individual pieces of advice.
That's right. Exactly right. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. That's a good way of thinking about it. Yeah. But just talking in normal conversation to a friend, family member.
Yeah.
Say, hey, let me give you some advice, or I'll give you some advice. So when you're offering advice to a person, you wouldn't usually itemize it and say, I'll give you three pieces of advice. Often you haven't thought about it enough to know how
that's
many
right. Yeah.
You're going to give
exactly
in advance.
Yeah. So there's a slight difference there, depending on the formality, I suppose, of the whole situation.
And if you, and the reason.
And if you have to kind of transmit a message, then potentially it could be that you want to separate them out, and then it would be three pieces of advice that I could give you this morning, or three pieces of advice that you can take away with you today, you know.
From like this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. From this particular podcast.
Yeah. Exactly. So that word piece is very useful, because when you do need to make these uncountable nouns countable for a reason, and sometimes you need to, then you have the word piece or accommodation type, which is the exception, you could say.
Yeah.
So it's a very easy mistake to make as a Spanish speaker.
It is.
Because obviously you're thinking in your head, you know, un consejo, un mueble.
That's right.
Dos muebles.
That's right. Exactly right. And so
another really difficult one that students struggle with is news.
That's right. Exactly.
It's a slightly strange one because it's got an S. So
yes,
it looks like a plural. People think of it as noticias.
That's
in
right.
Spanish is plural, ending in S. And news sounds like, oh, it's the same. No, it's noticias.
That's right.
So if I want to say una noticia, all I have to do is remove the S and I have the singular. So my students, many, many times they say, oh, I have a new.
That's right.
For you.
That's right.
Una noticia. And you say, no, a new. A new what? A new car? A new house? Because new is
exactly.
a different word.
That's right.
Nuevo.
That's right.
It's an adjective.
Nuevo is an adjective. It can only really be used as an adjective. So yes, it's a kind of strange one, right? But it's a kind of
a
logical thing for any Spanish speaker to do, right? A completely
exactly,
logical thing for them to do. They're thinking of noticias, okay, is news. And then noticia, well, is obviously has to be a new. It's kind of like
new.
Absolute sort of logical 1 + 2. You
exactly.
know,
or sometimes they say a news, so they don't make the mistake of taking away the S.
Right.
But they still make a mistake
because
news is uncountable. Yeah. So you cannot say a news. So neither a new nor a news. Both are incorrect.
Both are incorrect.
And you hear them all the time, understandably, translating from Spanish. So it's quite a difficult word to use.
It is. It is. But this is where the rule that we were talking about before comes into play again, right? Because we can use a piece, right?
Yeah.
A piece of news. Although we were talking about earlier, just before we got onto the podcast, was that we kind of often don't actually, as native speakers, say that very much, right?
No. Maybe it's difficult for us also, so we avoid it.
That's right. Yeah.
Because like, it's a slightly strange word.
It looks
like a plural, but it isn't.
Yeah. It's kind of cumbersome, right? To say.
Cumbersome. Good word. Cumbersome.
Yeah. It's like, you know, if I was speaking to a friend, it was unlikely that I would say, I heard a piece of news yesterday about the issue, whatever, you know, it's possible. It's certainly not grammatically incorrect as far as I'm aware.
We don't tend
to use it, do we? No.
You'd say I've got some good news and bad news. That's a common expression.
Yeah.
Which do you prefer? Which do you want first, the good news or the bad news?
Yeah. That's
a set phrase that we use, no?
Yeah.
But you don't really say, yes, I'll give you a piece of news, or I heard two pieces of news.
No.
So how do we avoid using the word news?
I think we kind of, you were kind of talking about this before as well, right? And the whole idea of potentially we use other words, simple as that, right? And we talk about basically. And we would say, I heard a report yesterday, or I heard something on the radio, even being a kind of a little bit more general, not even saying that it was particularly something related to the news, you know?
Yeah.
So,
or I read a report about something, a news story. Ah, you can use news as an adjective. Strangely, so perhaps we use it as much or more. So I read a news report, a news item.
True.
Because yeah. Item is countable. So you can have two news items, two news stories, reports.
Yeah.
Or we just say item, report, story. I heard a story. I read a story in the newspaper about something.
Exactly.
So we tend to avoid. And the news perhaps most commonly is used as the program that gives you the news.
Yes, that's right.
So you'd say, you know, like the telediario on the Spanish on the television.
Yeah. That's so definitely.
Oh, I was listening to the news on the radio. I was watching the news, or I heard this story on the news.
That's right. Yes.
We tend to use it in that way probably more often than
more often. Noticia. Yes, yes, yes. If you had to kind of create the translation, you would say telediario would be basically the idea of that's the news, you know, I was watching the news. Program. That's right.
The place you receive your news. So you say, well, I was listening to the news this morning on the radio and I heard, and then you say what you've heard, or you say there was a great report about the war in Ukraine or whatever the current situation is or pandemic. Mm. But we'd almost never say, I was listening to the news and I heard a piece of news about Ukraine.
Yeah, that's too.
You'd never say that.
No? That's too complex. Yeah, and it's also repeating the word news as well.
And so you're repeating the word news. So to avoid that, we just wouldn't say anything at all. Just say, I was listening to the news this morning in the car on the way to work.
Yeah.
And I heard, and then you just say what you heard.
That's right.
Or there was a really interesting report from this place about something. Or there was a great story about the current situation in Ukraine.
Yeah.
So we just don't use really news in that way, no?
Yes. And so in that way, kind of the type of advice that we could give here, it's a type of advice that I've just used there, is that maybe we just have to be careful with that word, right? News, because most of the time it's more connected to the whole idea of just the program, right? And if you are going to use it, then just be careful that you're kind of aware that it's not commonly used like that. And maybe you should be looking for an alternative.
Trying to widen your vocabulary and use like story,
report,
news item.
Yeah.
You can use news in that sense, a news item.
A news item.
And then you're using it like an adjective.
Yeah.
A report, etc.
Yeah.
But you're not, but a piece of news or except the expression you say, I have some news for you, or I have some good news and some bad news.
Bad news.
That's common.
That is common. Yeah.
But apart from that, we don't use it in that way so much.
That's right.
It's a difficult one, news. It's always, my students are always having problems with that word and using it correctly. In fact, I can't actually think of many students who have ever used the word well or correctly.
That's right.
Even
that's
people
right.
at high levels.
Yes, yes, yeah. It doesn't seem to have a relationship between, in terms of the level of the particular client, for example. Yeah. It can be, you know, somebody with a C1 or it can be somebody with an A2, you know. I mean, it doesn't really matter. And if somebody actually got that right, you know, it kind of...
You'd be like, wow.
You'd be quite surprised, wouldn't you? You'd be quite surprised.
Finally.
Somebody
who can use the word news, because it's difficult.
It is.
I would
difficult.
Say in general, these words we're talking about, even higher level students, often or sometimes or occasionally, will make these same mistakes about our furniture and advice.
Yeah,
because it is quite difficult to change the chip, which is an expression we also came across when we were preparing this.
Yeah,
that we're not sure if native speakers actually use that expression.
If I had to bet, then I would say probably not. I think it's
probably
just
not.
That because we've been living here in Spain for such
a long
time, and that we know that expression of cambiar el chip, and we kind of often do it the other way around, right? So it's like we're so used to these Spanish expressions that we take them over to English.
Spanglish,
basically,
as they call it. I really doubt, because my students will say, do you say that in English? I'm like, I'm not sure. I don't know. I think, do we? I don't know. I haven't lived in England for 25 years. Sometimes you have doubts that you're using expressions from Spanish in English, and then you get so used to them, you can't even remember if that is, do you say that in English? Would
That's
an English
right.
speaker say that?
Exactly. Exactly.
Because they're just convenient for us to use.
That's right. They are. There are
here,
some expressions.
Yeah,
Spain. Absolutely. Absolutely. There are some expressions in Spanish that you kind of say, wow, I wish I could have that in English.
Yeah, that's great.
Super useful. Super useful. And the thing that I've noticed is that often I have to kind of go back to the UK to kind of refresh
refresh your English.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I'll tell you an interesting one. I noticed that people living in English speakers living in Spain a lot, or a Spanish speaking country, I only know in Spain for a long time. One of the first things you lose from your English vocabulary is question tags.
Oh, yes, of course. Absolutely.
So you end up very quickly in a few months or, I don't know, years, saying no.
Yeah, of course.
So you stop saying, isn't it, aren't they, doesn't it, does he, aren't you? It's too complicated.
It is complicated, yeah.
It's much easier in Spanish. So I find myself in England speaking and I'll say, no. And they're like, people look at you like, you've lived in Spain too long.
Or they just think that you're just strange. I mean, basically.
Yeah, strange, or they don't say anything.
because they probably don't have that knowledge necessarily.
Why
you're saying it like that, right? But it is one of the first things that goes, it's definitely, you're right there. It just goes out the window.
And
yeah, absolutely.
So forget that. It's far too complicated. Just say no at the end. Brilliant. Fantastic. It's just
the intonation,
more comfortable.
Of course. Is the intonation. No? Of course, the intonation is super important on that no. Yeah. You know, like, really? You like that, no?
No, yeah, exactly. It sounds so. I noticed when I go back to England, or I did when I first used to go back to England, that the people saying using question tags, no?
Yeah.
No, see, I've just done it then. I said no.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And they're all like, doesn't he? Isn't he? And I noticed it thinking, oh, yes, how strange. Because I stopped using them. No?
Yeah.
No, I've done it again. Look, you see, it becomes a bad habit. So we pick up a lot of bad habits.
We do.
In English living here for so long.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Yeah. Great. Well, that was super, super. I mean, I found it very interesting. Definitely that whole idea of those three key pieces of advice, let's say, related to those particular sort of countable, not so much and many, which is what was often talked about, right, in terms of countable and uncountable, but these particular common mistakes that are so, so very, very connected to the whole idea of the L1 interference, essentially.
Yeah. How many, obviously, is also important. So if you want to ask, you know, ¿cuántos muebles tienes? You would say, not how many furnitures, typical mistake. Mm-hmm. You'd say, you know, how much furniture? And you could answer a lot, a little.
That's right.
And then again, if people say, no, exactly, I want to know the exact number. And then you would have to say, well, okay, I have 27 pieces of furniture in my house.
Yeah.
Or another way you can avoid, if you want to make this, to make it countable, you can just itemize the furniture into the different types of furniture, which is often what we would do, no? Because they are countable. So you can say, well, I have 4 beds, 6 tables, 7 chairs, etc. And all of those words are countable.
So then
you can get around that problem.
Of course. Yes, you can. You can. Absolutely. Absolutely. Fantastic, Alistair. So thank you very much for your time. Really, really great. I certainly enjoyed it. So thank you very much. And we'll basically meet again next week for our next session. Okay.
Look forward to it.
All right. See you then.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
So there you go. I hope you enjoyed that episode of the Transforma tu Inglés Profesional podcast. If you have any feedback or just want to get in touch with us for any particular reason, you can do that through our email address, which is coach@danielsmith.es. And just send us a quick email and we'd love to hear from you. All your feedback is very, very welcome. And for now, thank you very much and I hope to see you again next week.